Hi, I'm Leah Canland with my husband Steve, and you're about to listen to our Insightful Adventures, a show that chronicles our travels around Australia and the savvy, scientific, and scenic things we experience along the way.
Today on the podcast, we are talking about our experiences in Kalbarri, Coral Bay, and Exmouth. We have finally hit the road and have been on the road for about 6 days, and we've traveled 2,025 kilometers and 1,215 miles.
So after driving a day, our first stop on our three-month road trip was a town called Kalbarri. And there is a national park in Kalbarri, and that was one of the first things we did. We drove to Kalbarri National Park, but saw a random sign that said Warabano Chimney and pointed off in some random direction. So we were like, let's just go down this road and see what's special about this chimney.
Yeah, and it was called the, I'm going to mispronounce this, Warabano Smelter. And a smelter is a mining term where you'd put ore in, heat it up, and then you get whatever mineral it is out of it. So you'd put something in, you'd get steel or silver or whatever. And this Warabani smelter is one of the earliest identified European mining sites in Western Australia, one of the oldest smelters surviving in WA, and is one of the earliest in all of Australia. It was built in 1858 and was used until the 1860s. So not very long, but still in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah, and so we were walking up, and there was a random, like, mini fridge there on the trail. It wasn't a very long trail. And sure enough, it was a geocache. And so we weren't looking for a geocache, but we signed our name in a little book in the fridge, and that was kind of fun. And then we headed into Kalbarri National Park, and there is a very iconic hike that you can do there called Nature's Window. Unfortunately, they're doing major construction at the Nature's Window and Z-Bend. I don't know if it was just the car park or if it was the trail itself, but basically those two hikes are going to be closed till July 2017 with intermittent days that they'll be open, but we couldn't do the iconic Nature's Window hike.
Yeah, and that's like the reason why you go to this national park. So that was a bummer we couldn't do it.
Yeah, so we went to two other lookouts though, because it is still beautiful,
yeah.
And you can drive to these other lookouts, the Ross Graham and Hawks Head Lookout. And really, Nature's Window, from what I've seen from the pictures, is just a stone arch, a natural arch. And we have a whole national park in Utah dedicated to arches, and so
yeah, we don't know if it's an arch or a bridge, and there's differences between the two, or what it really is, because we couldn't actually visit it, so we don't really know how it was formed. But yeah, some sort of window in the rocks.
Yeah, but the other iconic thing to do in Kalbarri is to snorkel the blue holes.
Yeah, which I had done with my parents when they had come earlier this year, and it's a really easy snorkel, right by, down by the beach, beginner snorkel site, but still a pretty cool area.
Yeah, so it's kind of this rocky intertidal zone that has these big pools in it, and you have to make sure that you snorkel before the tide comes in, or else you have waves just crashing over this kind of shallow area, which kind of happened to us. We got there, got, I don't know, maybe like a 30, 45-minute snorkel in before the waves, before the tide was coming in, and we got out. But we saw a nudibranch, and nudibranchs are just colorful little sea slugs.
It was this really pretty blue-yellow sea slug.
Yeah. And other than that, that pretty much wrapped up our time in Kalbarri.
So then we drove another hour and a half, stayed the night, woke up the next morning, and went to Coral Bay.
Yeah, we made good time. So we had half of the day in Coral Bay. Really, what happened the first day in Coral Bay was that we had a solar shower, but we didn't know.
Oh, no.
We hadn't used it yet, and we had some access to some water, and so I wanted to fill the solar shower, and I did, and I overfilled it, and basically it spilled.
It made our entire our entire bed and towels and pillows got soaking wet. I was so upset.
Bedding.
I was ready to like go to the beautiful beaches in Coral Bay. All to realize that everything was just soaked from the stupid solar shower. I was so
Steve's
upset.
Steve's clothes. So we get to Bills Bay, which is just... So Coral Bay is situated on Ningaloo Reef. And Ningaloo Reef is just this like gorgeous fringing reef that's part of the Ningaloo Marine Park. And Ningaloo Marine Park is just a World Heritage Area since 2011. And we'll talk about that a little bit later. But it's a gorgeous reef. And you just have to walk feet from shore and you're just swimming among coral reef. And so we get there and Steve is so grumpy. I already thought it was funny. I was like, whoopsie daisy.
Well, it was everything was wet. And so we had to pull everything out and carry our big foam mattress down to the beach and like put it over the fence so it could dry. And then later when it was dry, we had to put it back and it was just sticky from the sea wind and it had so much sand in it. So even after I'd kind of gotten over it, once we put it back in the car, it was sticky and it was still wet. I still slept in wet.
It was
stuff.
Like just on Steve's side too. It like got some of his clothes wet and his side of the bed wet.
I blamed Leah for everything.
Oh, it was totally my fault. I just think it's hilarious.
I'm still kind of upset about it.
It's fine now though.
Anyways, the next day, we spent the night there. The next day, we had heard about this really awesome beach called Five Finger Reef. So it's a Five Finger Reef or beach. And so we went, luckily we have a four-wheel drive vehicle, which is the only way you can get to it other than walking. And we spent the morning four-wheel driving around.
Well, before we even began four-wheel driving, they have a gas station and an air pump right outside of the four-wheel drive tracks that take you all along these remote parts of the Ningaloo Reef, basically. And so...
And which is nice because when you're driving in sand, you have to really let out your tire pressure super, super low in order to drive through the sand. And so I wanted to do that, but we didn't have like a tire gauge to know how low we were going or when we were done to fill it back up. And a tradie showed up to fill up his car, and I asked if he had a tire pressure gauge. He did. He let me borrow it. I used it for like a couple of tires. It was taking a while. And so I ran over to him and I said, hey, I'll give you $10 for this tire gauge because we didn't have one. We needed one. And he was like, yeah, okay. So I bought a tire gauge off a tradie. So that now we have a tire gauge, which is great because we really do need one.
Yeah. And so with the tire pressure sufficiently low, Steve and I both had the chance to go on some of these four-wheel drive sandy tracks, and it was quite a fun adventure just finding Five Finger Reef. Like I said, there is an easy way to get there, but we just had fun getting lost on all the four-wheel drive tracks that they have out there.
Yeah, and luckily this vehicle that we're in, it's a FJ Toyota Cruiser, is a tank. It's so awesome.
Yeah.
Through the sand.
Yeah, it's really great.
There was a couple of parts where I got kind of nervous, but pulled right through.
Absolutely. And so Steve and I both agree that Five Finger Reef has been our favorite beach in all of Ningaloo. And so there are two towns that we went to after Coral Bay. We went up to Exmouth, and both of these are part of a huge fringing reef called Ningaloo Reef. And Five Finger Reef is got to be just the prettiest.
It is the prettiest. It's easy to get to on a four-wheel drive. Even if you went to Coral Bay and didn't have a four-wheel drive, it's worth it to walk like almost 5Ks to the beach to snorkel this reef because it's so awesome.
Yeah, and the reason it's called Five Finger Reef is because there are five parallel reefs that extend from the shoreline out to about 200 meters. And so you can just take your time snorkeling all five of those fingers. And the coolest thing that happened was we saw a sea turtle when we were snorkeling.
Yes. And it was the first sea turtle I had ever seen in the wild. And I kind of excitedly freaked out, but hopefully not too much. And the turtle, he spotted us, but he wasn't too annoyed at us. He was just like, he was kind of semi-bothered, but we were able to follow him a little bit until, pretty much till we got tired and we were done following him. He just kind of swam away, but it wasn't like he swam away because he was scared. He was just kind of like, well, these people are following me.
Yeah, we tried not to be too annoying, but the turtle was pretty wary. But if it wanted to get away, it totally could have. We were just sort of, I don't know, trying to not be too annoying, but we're just so fascinated with the sea turtle.
Yeah, and sea turtles, so we shared a little bit on our Instagram feed, but there's four sea turtles nesting on the Ningaloo Reef right now. Green, loggerhead, flatback,
hawksbill?
And hawksbill. Yes, hawksbill. And most sea turtles are found off the coast of Australia at different times of the year, all like 9 or 10 of them. But these four are nesting on Ningaloo Reef right now. And if you're lucky, and we haven't been lucky enough yet, but the females will come ashore at night, they lay their eggs, and then they'll slip back into the water.
Yeah, and also there are little babies that are hatching this time of year as well. And so, yeah, we haven't been lucky enough to see turtle nesting or turtles hatching, but there's a lot of turtle activity going on at Ningaloo Reef this time of year.
Yeah, and turtles are just cool. I learned a couple things about turtles that I didn't know. Is their fusiform body, is that how you say it?
Mm-hmm. A fusiform body.
Fusiform body, what prevents them from retreating into their shell like their land and freshwater relatives. But that also enables them to swim a lot better, faster, more efficiently, I don't know, in the seawater, right? I think, yes, that is. I was looking at Leah, the marine biologist, and she was like, oh, I don't know.
Well,
but yes, I think that's true.
Unless I've like looked it up and researched it for sure, I'm not going to say it out loud. So,
Yes, I think that's pretty sure. And that their eggs are, the sex of the eggs is determined by the temperature they're exposed to. And warmer weather produces females, and colder weather produces males, which I didn't know.
Yeah, it's not just the weather necessarily. It's, you know, they're incubated in sand, and so it's the temperature of the sand at a critical period in their development. And there's other reptiles that have, it's called temperature-dependent sex determination. And crocodiles do it, alligators do it, other kinds of turtles do it. But it's pretty cool to see turtles do it too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They are. So that's the best snorkeling spot in all of Ningaloo Reef. But we continued on.
Yeah, and so after lunch, we went on another four-wheel drive track to a place called The Lagoon, which was in Bateman Sanctuary. And this was a little bit trickier to find. Luckily, we came across a French couple that was looking for another beach in the same sanctuary zone. And so we sort of hung out for the rest of the day, really.
Yeah, it was really nice hanging out with them. I was able to practice my French, which was cool. He spoke great English, and she understood English really well. She probably understood as much English as I understood French. She understood it really quite well. And we just hung out with them. We had dinner. We played a cool game with them on the beach.
Yeah, I think it's, did they say it was a Finnish game?
Yeah.
It's called, I think they pronounced it Molki, M-O-L-K, and then the letter U with the dots over it.
Yeah, it's kind of like a bowling point game. It's kind of hard to describe without actually showing, but a fairly simple game. It was fun to play with them, and then we just kind of hung out and had dinner. And
yeah, we also snorkeled the lagoon, which is what
right.
It's called. A local in town told me that, so there's a natural rock wall that extends, that cuts off part of the lagoon, and so most people just swim in that proper lagoon, but if you go around the outside to the left outside of the lagoon, apparently there's like heaps of turtles that just hang out on the other side of that natural rock wall. So we're like, let's go see heaps of turtles. And we just swam too close. The waves are just crashing too hard, and we were swimming too close to that rock wall. You have to stay pretty far back. And we were getting in too close and basically got washed up on the reef.
Yeah, and the waves were hitting us. And by the time, and Leah was like, let's go back. And I was like, no, let's keep on going. And then it reached a point where I was really tired. And I was like, uh-oh, this is not good. Being tired, being hammered by waves, hitting against a rock. And we were all just getting hammered. Leah got scratched. I got hurt in my hand. And so we eventually just kind of made it to the rock and just climbed out, because we didn't really have the energy to swim all the way back around. I mean, we could have, but we were just hurt and tired and wasn't a good situation.
Yeah.
But we made it out. We were fine. But we did see another turtle, and he just kind of, we saw him real quick, and he swam away real quick, and then we just got hammered by the waves.
Yeah, and then I ended up snorkeling in the lagoon a little bit after that. Everybody else went back to shore, but I was like, nah, I'm going to keep snorkeling. And so I'm going to salvage this snorkel trip.
We were all like, oh, man, we're tired, we are hurt, we're done. And Leah was like, nope, I'm going back out.
And I ended up seeing another sea turtle in the lagoon. So it was worth it. Worth the scrapes and bruises. 3 sea turtles for that trip for me.
Yeah, which is pretty awesome. I got 2. Still feel pretty good about that.
Oh, yeah. Seeing any in the wild is just so rewarding.
Yeah, so we spent the night there. And then the next morning, we left the four-wheel drive track and made it to Exmouth, which was just like another hour and a half north of Coral Bay.
Yeah, so Exmouth is another town that's on Ningaloo Reef.
Well, in Exmouth, I think we had another half a day in Exmouth, and we just went.
It was the right time of day to snorkel a site called Oyster Stacks.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
So you have to snorkel this site whenever it's basically high tide. I think it has to be at least 1.2 meters. Otherwise, I don't know. Don't quote me on that. It has to be high tide. We know that for sure. Yeah, Steve was having issues with his mask.
I've always had issues with my mask. It's either fogged or leaked or both. And by this time, I was just so over it. Just done, because when it leaks, it like goes up my nose and sinuses, and it just tastes seawater the rest of the day, and then the seawater stinks your eyes, and then it fogs, and you can't see.
Okay, I think people understand the sensation of, yeah, seawater in your eyes and nose. So that was happening to Steve basically off and on for the majority of the snorkeling, and we've been snorkeling for like 4 days straight. So I think Steve is kind of over snorkeling, and I'm like, ooh, I love snorkeling. And what was cool about this site, Oyster Stacks, is that there's not a lot of live coral there, like what you might expect to see, this, you know, gardens of huge, live, vibrant coral. But there are tons of big old fish, like big fish, and they weren't very skittish.
Yeah, you could get really close to them, actually, and they weren't skittish of humans. They weren't associating humans with danger. So, I mean, you're not supposed to touch them or anything, but you could still get pretty close, and they weren't bothered at all.
No. It was amazing and beautiful to just be so close. And, yeah, it was very cool to get close. I was going to go on a tangent, but I will try to.
Leah's so excited. I'm still, like, annoyed about
it. Yeah, no, but it's awesome that in the sanctuary zones, in these well-protected sanctuary zones, these fish don't associate danger with humans, you know, so you can get close. Whereas in some of these more remote locations that we were at, even though it was a sanctuary zone, it was a small sanctuary zone, actually, around a recreational use area, and it was just more remote, and so there weren't as many people, and so I think that the fish and the wildlife there just had more natural behaviors towards people. I don't know. It was cool to be able to get close to big old fish, which is something I always appreciate. And then we did a hike because the ocean part of this area that we were at is called Ningaloo Reef, part of the Ningaloo Marine Park, but on land they have a terrestrial national park called Cape Range National Park, and so they have hiking trails, and we hiked a trail called Yardi Gorge.
Yeah, and it's the only place in, what's the park called?
Cape Range.
Cape Range National Park. It's the only place in Cape Range National Park that has water year-round besides the ocean. And it's sometimes connected to the ocean, sometimes not. And they have boats that kind of go up and do tours. We did a hike around it. And it's just really pretty gorge with kind of some pretty cliffs and the water going through it. And
yeah, it just took us an hour, semi-strenuous, but it was good. And then that night, we stayed at a place basically for the shower. Yes. We're like, we need a shower. It's been like, what, 5 days or something? And so we took a shower and we went into the town of Exmouth and had dinner at a place called Cadillacs.
And that was so good. We got, Leah got the Red Emperor and I got some other fish. I don't know exactly what it was, but it was so good. That Red Emperor that Leah got the best fish I've ever had in my life.
Oh, I have heard that Red Emperor is a yummy, yummy fish, but it definitely lived up to its reputation, like the best fish.
And I feel like I've had some really good seafood in my life, but that was just, it was just so good.
Yeah, we highly recommend the seafood at Cadillacs. It's like, they say it's like a honky-tonk bar and they had country music playing the whole time. Don't let that put you off. Don't fall for any of that. Like, under that whole weird, like, gimmicky facade, there is delicious seafood.
Yes, and if you can get the Red Emperor, get it.
Yeah. Yeah, and so then today is actually our last day in Exmouth, and we started the day by going to the local lighthouse. It's called the, well, I don't know how to pronounce this, but the Vlaming Head Lighthouse.
It was built because there was a shipwreck offshore, so they had to build a lighthouse here to protect the boats traveling up and down the coast from the reef and the corals here.
Yeah, and then after that lighthouse, after looking at the lighthouse, we did a morning hike to a place called Slot Hole Lookout. It was about a 6 kilometer or 3 mile hike, and it was just really hot and not worth it.
It wasn't worth it. It was hot. We got back and we were both dehydrated and overheating.
But that's not why it wasn't worth it. It was just that the lookout itself, you weren't allowed to walk to the final lookout area because I think it was on a cliff and I think it was unsafe on the cliff. And so you couldn't even see the final lookout. And really the drive to get to the trailhead was way more scenic and beautiful. Definitely drive around in that part of the, well, it's not part of the national park, I don't think. Is it part of the national? I don't think it's part of the national park. But it's definitely worth a drive around because it's beautiful, but I wouldn't bother with that specific shot hole lookout hike.
No, not at all. And then we came down and went to Turquoise Bay and snorkeled again. And that's probably one of the best places to snorkel. Besides Five Finger Reef, it's pretty good.
Yeah, so Turquoise Bay is definitely the iconic beach to snorkel in all of the Ningaloo Reef. It's a drift snorkel, which means that you walk up the beach on one side, you hop in the water, and like I said, it's a fringing reef, and so you don't have to go very far before you see beautiful coral and tons of fish. And so you just let the current carry you down, and then you hop out of the water.
Yeah. And Leah did it like 3 times. Again, I was having troubles with my mask. So I did like half of it once. And I tried a couple of different things. I tried Leah's mask and it wasn't working. So I kind of set out, but Leah did it a couple more times.
Yeah, saw a lot of my fishy friends and just a good day. It was actually windy today.
So windy. Sitting on the beach, that part of the beach, we eventually walked around another part and it was kind of protected and that was okay. But sitting on that part of the beach, it was just like getting sand blasted. It was not fun.
It was a gorgeous view to be sandblasted. and it was fine in the water.
Yeah, just windy.
Yeah.
And then we're staying the night here in the
Yardie Creek Camp. Yep.
And we'll leave tomorrow to head to Carrageenie.
Yes, which I am so excited about. We'll do a little Christmas episode, but don't be expecting a full 30-minute episode until the week after Christmas. But we'll have a lot of things to talk about because Carrageenie National Park is nothing but just beautiful rock formations and waterfalls.
So before we move on to our next segment, we just wanted to quickly mention that we had come to Exmouth once before, several months ago, and that experience is too epic not to share, even though it wasn't part of this trip. So we on a whale shark tour, we swam with whale sharks, and we saw humpback whales, and that's just like super brief, but it was so awesome.
Yeah, so the amazing thing about Ningaloo Reef is that it supports significant populations of a few different kinds of marine megafauna. And so there's an annual aggregation of whale sharks that come every year, which August is typically past the whale shark season, but it was a really extended season this year. We weren't expecting to do anything to do with whale sharks, but we just got lucky and caught the tail end of the extended whale shark season. They also have humpback whales passing through all the time. Well, during their regular migration, they have manta rays here regularly and the sea turtles that we talked about. So Ningaloo Reef is a really, really epic place for marine megafauna.
It was it was awesome swimming with the whale shark, the world's biggest fish, and they can tell you all about whale sharks. But we saw humpback whales, like the males breaching, like fully out of the water, splash down the water. Like, it was epic. Like, yeah. You see pictures of that, like in National Geographic and Discovery Channel. We were on the boat watching these big whales jump out of the water.
So we paid for a snorkeling with whale shark experience, but really what we got was a whale watching tour with the bonus of swimming with whale sharks, because not only were there whales that were breaching, but there were the mothers and the calves, and it was just like, it was humpback city. Yeah. Out there, like, there were just tons and tons of humpback whales, and that is, like Steve said, a really, really special experience that I'll remember forever.
Yeah, it was so awesome. Quick thought about humpback whales. Humpback whales have been observed helping out like other animals being picked on by orcas, and they observe it as being like a altruistic behavior. Like, the whales are helping out these animals that are being picked on by another animal for no other reason than just to help out this other animal. And they don't really know why they're doing it, but just that humpback whales are nice and friendly and they help out their friends.
Yeah. So in the last segment of our podcast, each of us will share either a personal insight from our travels or a little adventure that wasn't covered earlier. So I'm going to start with the adventure. The day that we left for Exmouth, I woke up early, as I always do, I was waking up early to see if I could catch like a...
She wakes up early all the time.
I know, but I really wanted to see a nesting turtle this time. There was a different reason than the sunrise or any other excuse. This time, the excuse was that I wanted to see a nesting turtle, or at least see any turtle tracks. And so we have this like really crappy underwater camera that was given to us. That's like less than $100. You get an Office Max, I think. And so when I was just like beachcombing and looking for turtle tracks, there was this funky oval intertidal invertebrate. I don't know what it is. I took a picture of it.
It's weird. It looks like a wart.
It's really cute. It's like flat and oval, but it has like two eyes that stick up, and then it has a little tuft in the back, and it sort of like oscillates its lower body. And anyways, it was coming up on shore and I was like, whoa, what is this? And I took a picture, but I was like, I didn't have my camera. So I went to get the underwater camera, and since it was coming up on shore, I was like, I took it out of the underwater housing because I didn't want the underwater housing to like distort a land picture. And so when I came across it again, it was back in the water, and I just, without thinking, dunked the camera underwater to take a picture. Bubbles started coming up, and I was like, oh my gosh, no, it's not in the underwater housing. And so I ruined our crappy camera.
Yeah, it's dead.
I was so excited about this wart that I broke our underwater camera. So that's a huge disappointment. But that's totally what I get excited about.
That's true. And I'll share the insight. And my insight is, I was trying to make sense of a few things. So here's what makes sense to me, that you have a chore. And a chore is something that you hate doing and you never do regardless of the outcome. Like, even if you like having a clean kitchen, you just never do the dishes. Like, the clean kitchen is not worth the effort of doing the dishes, so you never do the dishes. And then the next step above that is you have like work, like something that the benefit you get out of it, the reward, kind of equals out of the effort that you put into it. So you go to work, you may not love your job, but you go to it anyways because you need money, and money affords you to a car or to provide for family or whatever. And so maybe you don't love your job, but the benefits you get out of the job maybe kind of outweigh the effort you have to put into it, or there's some other things that you do in life that way. And then you have a hobby, and your hobby is like something you love doing regardless of all the negative things. You just love doing that thing, just kind of like almost an altruistic thing. You love doing it for all the different reasons. And I've discovered and learned about myself that snorkeling falls into like the work category. I love seeing the stuff that you see while snorkeling. And I love that Leah loves to do it. So I want to do it with her because she loves it. Like, snorkeling for her is definitely like in the hobby section. It's just awesome. Always want to do it. It's always fun. But for me, like, I'm not a very strong or confident swimmer, and I was having troubles with my mask. So snorkeling kind of falls in this area of, like, sometimes it's really cool, and sometimes it just is really hard and kind of crappy, and it kind of just floats in between there.
Yeah, I thought that was a great insight to distinguish between the chore, work, and hobby. Because Steve and I were talking about it earlier about, is snorkeling a skill? And I
Leah's like, no, it's not a skill. You just do this, blah, blah, blah. And I struggle with the fins. I struggle with the mask. I struggle kind of with almost everything to do with it. And Leah's just like, no, it's just great. You just do this.
Well, we're talking about like a technical snorkel, because you can have like a technical dive. And I was like, oh, you can't have like a technical snorkel. Like, a snorkel is just a snorkel. And so that's kind of where it came from. But then after having this conversation and Steve really sort of laying out his argument, now I'm more in the camp of like, okay, snorkeling is a skill.
It's a skill, it's a hobby, it's a talent, something you work on.
Yeah.
And that's our podcast. Thanks for listening, and tune in for a shortened brief Christmas episode.
You can always find us on Instagram at Insightful Adventures. And that's a great place to reach out to us, ask us questions, comment. And other than that, just listen to any subsequent podcasts to get more information on our road trip.